Okay, we're picking up on Daf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph. We're three lines from the top. We're continuing the collection of memras that Rava Bar Machse, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya said in the name of Rav, which again are different topics throughout Shas and different inyanim b'chlal. So we're going to see over here a few different inyanim. It says the Gemara, Rav Rava Bar Machse, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Amar Rav. Kol ir shegavseh gavon beisak neses, any city whose roofs are higher than the shul, lesof chareva, it's ultimately going to be destroyed. Shenemar l'romemes beis elokinu l'amidus chavarasinu, we should raise up the base of Migdash of our God, and we should restore its ruins. And then Hemshech HaPasuk is important for us as well. And the Pasuk says, ul'amidus chavarasinu lesed lanu God there be Yehuda Yerushalayim, that we should continue to provide us with a fence around Yehuda Yerushalayim, implying that it is going to be, this fence is obviously referring to the fact that the city will be protected. That has the Gemara suggesting. Also, the Romeim are saying literally, taking it literally, she's raising up the base of Mikdash, we're applying that to the when Mikdash Ma'at, to our shuls as well. And the Gemara qualifies this, V'hani mili bebatim, this teaching only applies to the roofs of the houses, however, the forts and the towers, that would not be an issue, because people are not using the forts, the roofs of forts and towers. So according to this, then, if you assume that people aren't using the forts and the towers, then what would come out of here is that if a person is not using the roofs, if you have a sloped roof on your house, maybe that would not be an issue, because maybe the whole issue is like walking above where the shul is. That's a first kula. Second kula is the Meiri points out that maybe the whole issue is just building yourself a massive house that's bigger than the shul. That's not bekavod. However, if you have a 30-story, 40-story building that's used to house people, people are living in all those 40-story apartment building, then if you have a shul that's only 5 stories tall, that's not an issue also, because it's clear you're not building the 40-story apartment building to just have a nicer place than the shul. It's clear that it's just for people to live in. But again, this point is important though, that a person should try, a community should try to make the shul the nicest building in their community, and nicer than all the houses, because the Roman Beis Elokeinu, that we want to make sure that our shuls are beautiful and raised up to the levels that they should be. Continues the Gemara now. Amar Rav Ashi, So Gemara says, "Amar Rav Ashi, Ana Avdil Masa Me'achsa Delo Charava." I made sure that Masa Me'achsa, the city, wouldn't be destroyed. And how did he do this? Rashi points out, because he prevented the people. He was the Rosh Yeshiva, and he prevented people from building houses that were taller than the shul. But the Gemara asked, "Wait a second, Va'acharava? It was destroyed." So the Gemara answers, "Me'osu Avon Lo Charava. It wasn't destroyed because of that. They were destroyed for other affairs that they did, but I made sure it wasn't destroyed." Very interesting Gemara over here. Kenez Morav, Amar Rav Bar Masa, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gui, Amar Rav. Tachas Yishmael v'lo tachas Nachri. A person should be a slave or work under someone who's a Yishmael, right? B'nai Yishmael, an Arab, but not under a Nachri, which Rashi assumes is, they're talking about Edom, which is the Romans. You know, it's all of the Goyim in Europe. So we can see that that was true in our lives as well. As bad as the Arabs have been for us, I don't think Europe and Nazi Germany, nothing will compare to how bad they were. Tachas Nachri v'lo tachas Chabar. Now it says over here, under a random Goy and not under a Chabar, Rashi points out there's some nation in Paras and Persia, either within Persia, on the side of Persia, some nation that was really bad to the Jews. Tachas chabar velo tachas tamid chacham. Someone should work under a chabar, not work for a tamid chacham. So what's the problem with working for a tamid chacham? So Rashi points out, he's going to get angry at you one time. Even one time, he'll be angry at you and you'll be punished severely because you bothered a tamid chacham. Another answer the Ritva gives, I thought very interesting, is that it's, if you're treating with a gadol dor here, a big tamid chacham, it's impossible to constantly give him the respect that he deserves. Someone just visits him once in a while, you'll have the awe. But someone who's a gabbai, who's working with him all the time, maybe he wouldn't be able to respect him all the time. So either way, that's what the Gemara suggests. Tachas tamid chacham velo tachas yasam elmana. However, a person should work under tamid chacham and not work under orphan or widow, because that is the most chamor. The Torah itself tells you that if they write the yasam elmana call out to me, Hashem is quick to hear their cries and He's going to punish you for treating them badly. Continues the Gemara now. You should be sick with Rashi points out the sickness over here is a long, prolonged sickness. Okay, so if you have that type of sickness, it should be any sickness other than stomach, serious sickness in the stomach, because that's really bad if you have it for a prolonged amount of time. That's the worst type of sickness. Kol ke'ev lo ke'ev lev. So any, this is a shorter amount of sickness, sick for a short amount of time should be, but not this type of pain in the heart. So an ache is just something that will go away quickly. So any ache, except for, you know, how bad we can see how painful a headache is, we know that. So the, any of those aches. Kol ra v'lo isha ra. Than any evil, and not an evil woman. Any evil is worse than having an evil wife. An evil wife is the worst thing that can happen to a person. So, mechlav al tishmeh, if someone's zilcha, baruch Hashem, to have a great wife, then things will be amazing for him. If all of the seas, all of the seas, black ink, the agamim kumasim, and all of the swamps would be would be the all the swamps would be the quills, v'shamayim irios, and then the heavens are going to be the parchment, v'chomel adam larin, and all the people are going to be the sofrim. They're going to be writing everything in misapkim lichtov chalal shereshus. They would never be able to understand the depth and write down the depth of how deep the government's thinking is. What's the depth of the government? Rashi points out how much tactics to apply, how much things to do, how to go to war, not to go to war, protection. Do we need to add things to the army, the budget, and all these things we see now. How much the budget, to balance the budget, the whole corona thing. It's very difficult to be in the government. So why is Rav Abramasa telling us? The Miri points out, maybe the Gemara is telling us that a person should be davening for the well-being of the government and not assume that they're doing everything that's terrible. You know, not every government's the worst thing in the world. Everyone likes to complain about whoever is running the government, but we should know that they have a very hard job and where they're doing the best, and not always to judge them unfairly. Continues Gemara, now my crow, what's the pasuk to show that your government has a very hard job? Amar Rav Sherashia, Shamayim larum ve'aretz lomek ve'lev malachim in cheker. The heavens are the height, and the earth is the depth, and the mind of the kings are beyond someone in cheker, beyond someone investigating that. V'yamar Rav Abramachsan v'chamar b'gamar Rav yafet hanis l'chalom. A fast is good in nullifying the whatever, how bad the things that you had, the content of a bad dream. Ke'ish l'na'oras, as fire is in burning chaff, the dry part of that. That meaning it's very good and very effective in destroying a bad dream. Continues the Gemara. We had a lot of things about dreams in the whole ninth parak of Gemara and Brachos. Amar Rav Chista Bo Bayom, but this fast is most effective that very day that you had the dream. From Yosef Afilu B'Shabbos, you're even allowed to fast on Shabbos. Normally, it's usher to fast on Shabbos because it's an issue of Oneg Shabbos. However, the Rishonim point out, the Torah says that the whole reason is that here it's worse to not fast because you're so bothered by a dream that is your Oneg Shabbos, and therefore you could fast. However, you need to be mashlim the tanis to fast on Sunday for the fact that you fasted on Shabbos. What about fasting nowadays? So Rav Shlomo Zalman famously had the shita that based on the Shaar Tzion in the Mishnah Berurah, that he said that if nowadays when everyone knows all these crazy things that are going on, so then maybe it's not so shaykh, you don't have to fast at all b'chal nowadays, because you hear all these crazy things. Obviously you're going to be dreaming about scary things, but now read all the things about Corona, reading all the things about the whole world, every 3 seconds you hear crazy things, so you don't have to fast. However, in our Salvechik, it's quoted, quoted over there that he quoted that the Salvechik said the name of his grandfather, Reb Chaim. The Reb Chaim used to fast a lot on Shabbos, and all that. He used to learn with Reb Simcha Zelig, and when he was fasting, he used to make Reb Simcha Zelig learn with him, and basically Reb Simcha Zelig also had to basically fast, because Reb Chaim would learn with him the whole Shabbos. That's how Salvechik relates. So Reb Chaim obviously held that there was Shaykh to be fasting, even Bizman, at least Reb Chaim, when there clearly were newspapers, ways of getting around what was going on. Okay, either way, continues Gemara now. Rav Yehuda Yoshua, Bereid Rav Idi Iklu Rav Ashi, and he came to visit the house of Rav Ashi. Abdullah Igla Tilsa, they prepared for him a very good, it was the third born calf, meaning the calf had previously given birth to two other ones. This was the third one. Apparently Rashi points out that is the best type of meat, because the first two, they're not really able to grow as healthy as the third one. The third one's the best type of meat. So they said to him, Amrulay, litomim margi, so you should taste some of this amazing meat that I'm serving you. And what happened? Amrulahu, Rabbi Yeshua said back to them, but Tainus Yasmina, I'm fasting, Nebuch, I can't. Amrulay, but they said, Velosar Lamahar, the Hadra of Yehuda, Damar of Yehuda, you don't hold up of Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda says, Love Adam Tanisa, a person can borrow, so to speak, his fast, meaning you can break it if you need to, and then, Porea, then you'll repay it, you'll go back, and meaning you'll be mashlim the fast, you'll make up the fast that you lost out on. So the Rishonim all pointed out that halacha is only, meaning this halacha though is only with regards to if there's like a Sudas Mitzvah or something comes up where you would want to eat. So I guess here was a Sudas Mitzvah. I don't know. It doesn't say this so explicitly in the Gemara. Yeah, probably Ashana Karakimta. Either way, the Gemara continues, Amar Lehur of Yudashua, back to them, Tainus Chalom. No, even though you're right, but I'm in a Tanis Chalom, I'm fasting for a scary dream. I recorded before that Rav Gerda says that a fast is as effective to destroying a bad dream like a fire is effective in destroying the chaff. And that is Rabbi Yosef Afilu B'Shabbos. So he quoted this Mimra, and that is what he had a paskin, so he didn't eat at the Suda. If they started any of these activities, the Mishnah, this is the end point of the Mishnah, you don't interrupt them to daven mincha, obviously assuming you'll be able to daven later. However, the Mishnah continued, Mafsikin the Kriyashma, if one has to interrupt, to stop for Kriyat Shema, but you don't have to stop for Tefillah. So the Gemara asks, why are you repeating the second statement of repeating that you don't have to stop for Tefillah? It said in the beginning part of the Mishnah that you don't have to repeat for, you don't have to stop for Tefillah. So the Gemara says, Hatana L'Risha, the Mishnah already told us in the first part of the Mishnah, Eino Asikin, you don't have to stop for Tefillah, and repeats it twice. So the Gemara says now, Seif Asim L'Divrei Torah. No, the latter, the second part of this, of the Mishnah is referring to those who are studying Torah. And meaning, the first part of the Mishnah was talking about going to the, bathhouse or, getting a haircut, all those things. However, the second part is someone who's learning Torah, and it's teaching that someone who's learning Torah, he should say Shema, but he doesn't have to daven. The sign of the, as the Brisa relates, Chaverim she'oskim b'Torah. Chaverim is referring to Tamidei Chachamim who are learning Torah, mafsikin the Kriyat Shema, they have to interrupt in order to say Kriyat Shema, they're mafsikin the Tefillah, but they don't have to interrupt to daven. Rashi points out, because Kriyat Shema is Derabanan, and davening's deraisa. So I was wondering, what about the Rambam who holds that tefillah's deraisa? So maybe because it's only once a day every day, you could daven, according to Rambam, maybe you have to make the ukimta, that they would be davening at some point, but you just have the whole day to do it. According to Rambam, you don't have to do it dafka right now, so maybe just wait till, but even according to Rambam, you would have to stop at some point during the day, although the Gemara doesn't smash like that. It sounds more like the Ramban, that tefillah is derabanan, and you don't need to daven at all if you're learning Torah. Okay, that's just a side point. But this halacha is only referring to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and people like him. What is that? They're only learning Torah every second of the day. They didn't stop for anything about Akagon Anu. But however, Rabbi Yochanan saying like, Rabbi Yochanan, who's the Gadol Dor, was saying like, someone like me, I have to stop to also daven because I do other things like working for some points of the day, meaning I don't spend every second of my day learning Torah, so I have to daven, which is what we point out, even nowadays in the Gadol Dor, still davening because we assume that no one's on the level of Hashem Bayochai, that is not really existent nowadays. The Gemara asks about Tanya, Kishem Shein Masikin Letfila, just as someone doesn't stop for tefillah, kach ein masikin lekriyat shema, so someone doesn't stop for kriyat shema. So now if those, so we're going to be wondering, but if we're saying Torah son umanasan is a reference to shema, so then who is this braisa applying to? We don't have anyone to assume that this braisa is applying to anyone. So the Gemara says, Kitanei be'ibar shana. This braisa is chiddush. It's the judges who are deciding on whether or not to extend the year. We know they're coming up. You know, they're on Pesach, right? Pesach has to be after the springtime. The Chodesh Aviv, the vernal equinox, right? If you divide 365 by 3, you'll get roughly 3 months. So after April 1st, every year on the English calendar, you'll never find Pesach before then because it has to happen after the vernal equinox, after this, what we would call the scientific springtime. So therefore, they'd have to extend it. It used to be done al pi Adim and they figured it out, and there was other factors as well. If like it was a bad year of crops and things like that, they would factor that in as well at the time where they're doing Imbar Shana based on the people's testimony. So the Gemara says that Amar Avada Bar Abba, that the Gemara is telling over here, the Chiddush, you don't have to say Kriyat Shema, and you don't have to, they don't have to say Kriyat Shema, and you don't have to daven. So, meaning that someone who is Torah Simonasan will still have to say Kriyat Shema. That's what comes out over here. So the Gemara says, Amar Avada Bar Abba, Gemara Sir Gurya, Amar Rabbi Lazar Bar Batzadok, Shea, I know it's going to be Ibar Shana B'Yavne, Lo Ayinu Mavsikin, Lo Kriyat Shema, Lo Tfila, we wouldn't stop for Kriyat Shema or for Tfila. I'm not sure why this isn't Osek Mitzvah Patar Mitzvah. What's the Chiddush about Ibar Shana? Maybe because it wasn't directly a Mitzvah right now, but Lechora, it still is a Hechsher Mitzvah. You're doing a Mitzvah right now by doing Ibar Shana. Why isn't that Pashat Osek makes a Patar Mitzvah and you'd be Patar from Kriyat Shema? I'm not sure why the Gemara has to say that that's the Chiddush of this price. So either way, that's where it says. Okay, continuing on to the Mishnah. Mishnah tells us, Lo Yetzach, so back to Inyan of Shabbos, Lo Yetzach Chai B'machto Samach L'Chashicha, that a tailor shouldn't go out with his needle close to Shabbos. We're talking about Friday night, right? Friday afternoon, you shouldn't go close to when the Shkia is, shouldn't go out with his, because obviously you'll accidentally come to carry it in the Rishus HaRabim or from Rishus HaYachad to Rishus HaRabim. Shem Yishkach V'Yetzach, because you're going to forget and you're going to carry it again either in the Rishus HaRabim for Amos or carry it from Rishus HaYachad to Rishus HaRabim. V'Lav L'Var Bil Kumuso, and also the scribe shouldn't go out with his quill again close to Shkia by Erev Shabbos. So Rabbi Kiva Eger just points out, why do you need the second halacha? So he's saying, so Rabbi Kiva Eger says, the chiddush of the second halacha is that not only the small thing as a needle for the tailor, it's very small, obviously you'd forget it, but even a quill, which is much bigger, we assume that a person could forget even large objects. That's the chiddush of the second halacha over here. The lo yaflas kelev shadim, someone shouldn't shake his garments in order to get off get off the lice on his begadim. The lo yikras, a person shouldn't read l'or haner by the light of a lamp on Shabbos, and because you're gonna come to, we're gonna see, you're gonna come to tilt the oil, and you're gonna be, over ma'avir, or kindling the light, so we're gonna see that from the Gemara. And then, also, what's the Hemshech? Be'emes Amru. So they really said, the Yerushalmi has a rule, whenever you say Be'emes Amru, that's halacha l'Moshe Messina over here, it seems problematic because we're discussing a dinder, a banan. The Gaonim of Masora, they say that Be'emes Amru is just, that's the halacha. So everyone agrees that it's very strong whenever the Mishnah is Lashon Be'emes Amru. However, here it seems to be problematic with that Yerushalmi. However, either way, the Mishnah says, Chazan Roy Heichat Tikonos Korin, that the Chazan, the person who used to be Rashi, says the Bal Kore. He could see where the children are reading that night because he would have to figure out where am I starting the parsha from. Avalu lo yikra, but he shouldn't read by himself because we're afraid he'll come again to make the mistake. So we see also sometimes this is not relevant to Chashav. It's just some halachas that are dinim derabanan where we're choshish on things that a zav shouldn't eat with a zav at the same food because at the same table. Mnei har galver are afraid that they'll come to have relations with each other. That's an intimate thing to be doing, and this is one of the few. There's not so many sources of harchakos between a nida, a husband and a wife, that are in Mishnayos and in Gemaras. This is one of them. That eating together without a heker is right here beferish in this Mishnah. Continues the Gemara. Tana Tanan Hasan, we learn in the Mishnah in Maseches Erevin. What is the Mishnah? Lo yamad adam birshus yachid v'yishte birshus harab. A person shouldn't stand in the private domain, and then he shouldn't bend forward and drink in birshus harabim. And birshus harabim v'yishte birshus yachid, or so a person shouldn't stand in the public domain and bend forward and drink in a private domain. Why not? Because we're afraid he'll accidentally bring the cup into the area. Let's say he was standing in the Rishus Yachid, he'll bring it, the cup into the Rishus Yachid. And if you do that, you're going to be over, as she says in Isidore Reisa, of Havara, of being maver from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Yavim. So that is an issue. However, if you're bringing your head and most of your body into the domain which you're drinking from, then mutter, then be permitted for you to drink, because then it's very unlikely you're going to come to transfer the cup because you already have your whole body and recognize you're doing something different. Says the Gemara now, v'chein, but God, the same thing is going to apply at a wine press. The Gemara Rashi says is going to discuss this in a few moments. So it says the Gemara, Ibailu, they asked the question though. Carmelis Mai, what's going to be the halacha with regards to Carmelis? Is it going to be mamutter to stand in a Carmelis and drink in the private domain or public domain? Or are we goes there like regular Shusharim or Shusayachid, in which case you'd have to move Rosh, or you have to put most of your body into the Rosh that you're drinking from the Carmelis. So says the Gemara, Rabbi, Abaye says the same halacha were like the Dinda Raisa, and you would be Machmir, even though the whole idea of a Carmelis is a Dinda Rabbanan, we're Machmir over here. However, Rava says, Rabbi Amar, he gufagzir, but no, Rava says no. The whole idea of a Carmelis is a gzera. Derabanan v'ananekum nigzer gzera gzera. How are you allowed to make another gzera, another decree on a decree? We have a concept that you can't make two gzeras on a din derabanan. Whenever it seems to be like there's two, usually we'll say chad gzera. We'll answer that, but usually the normal rule is we don't make two gzeras. So what is the two gzeras? A Carmelis is a gzera at the first place, and then the second gzera would be that if I need to put half my body, lest I forget, and bring it from a shazer to siyacha, that's also din derabanan. That would be called a gzera gzera, and that would not be an issue according to Rava. So the Gemara now wants Abaye wants to bring a raya for his position. Says the Gemara, "Amar Abaye, mina manila." Where do I tell you my halacha diktani? It says in the Mishnah, "V'chein begat." Our Mishnah says the same is going to be with the wine press. So what's this halacha about a wine press? It's seemingly not going to be an Nidin Raisa. Why not? Because my God, what's the status? If it's a private domain, Tanina, the Mishnah already told us that a person standing in the private domain can't, or a person can't stand in the public domain and drink from the private domain. If you want to tell me it's Rosh Hashanah and tell me that this status of the wine press is like Rosh Hashanah, Tanina, we also tell me that halacha. That was the second case. So then which halacha is the Mishnah coming to tell you? It's not going to, the Vachem Agat, the wine press, is not repeating itself. So it says, if I love Carmelis, it must be that the third case is Vechei Magat. The Mishnah is telling you the same is going to be true by a wine press, and it's like a Carmelis, and it's like a Carmelis, and the din is like this din d'oraisa. So Abaye says, I have a raya from the Mishnah that someone, even if it's a din d'rabanan, you'd have to be machmir. So Rava rejects this. Says Rav Amar, no, Vechei Magat is different enough completely. It's l'inyan meiser. It's referring to the halachas of meiser that is not related to Hilchos Shabbos at all. What is it regards to Hilchos Meiser? So we know that Midoraisa, we've mentioned this a few times in Maseches Brachos, that in order to separate Shuma Meiser, you have to have a Gemar Malacha. It has to be the produce or whatever you're dealing with has to be finished. However, Midorabanan, sometimes the Rabbanan goes there that things that even if they're not yet fully finished are going to be Chayav. However, the Rabbanan did permit Be'arai, even like a casual snack, that'd be Mutter. So what was the case over here? So the Mishnah here, we were telling you about produce that didn't take off Meiser yet, the wine, you didn't take them off Meiser, and it's still in the wine press. So the halacha according to Rav over here is telling you that the wine over here can be casually drunk, but not in a formal manner. So you have to drink it over the wine press, meaning you have to lean your body over the wine press and drink it. However, the moment you take it out of that and bring it to outside the press, you remove it over that area, you would have a chiyuv to take off Truma or Meiser. So the Mishnah is teaching you that even drinking over the press would not be considered casual unless most of your body is over that area. So if most of your body is over there, that's considered arai, and that would be okay. So says the Gemara, V'chinam Rav Sheshi, Rav Sheshi also said this, V'alacha V'chein Begat Le'inyan Meiser. Rav Sheshi also said this V'chein Begat was talking about a different halacha, even though he was talking about Hilchos Shabbos before then. Now we moved on to Hilchos Meiser according to Rava, so he rejects Abaya's Raya from the Mishnah. This not, the Mishnah tells you, Shosin Alagas, someone who drink wine over the wine press, Bein Alacham and Bein Alzon and Pater, whether he diluted the wine with hot water, with cold, whether he'd be exempt from the Trumos of Meisers. Divrei Rav Meir, that's what Rav Meir holds. Rav Meir holds that drinking over the wine press is considered a casual matter, even if you're drinking it with hot water. However, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tzadok, Mechayev. Rabbi Tzadok said, one would be chayev to take off Trumos of Meisers if you dilute it, because the fact that you're diluting it shows you that it is a formal way of drinking, and you're chayev. The Chachamim and Rambam, they make a chiyuv. They make a chiluk. Alacham in chayev, if it's hot water, then you'd be chayev. But if it's cold, you would be able to put it back theoretically if you don't want anymore, so that shows that it's not kavua by taking it out. However, when you do it with hot water, Rashi points out, it'll be machmitz, it'll become ferment and ruin it if you pour it back into the wine press, so therefore that's kavua. The moment you take it out, you never bring it back. That's kavua, you would have to take off truma maestros. So again, Rava has now answered Abaye's kasha. So where's now going back to bring another proof from the Mishnah. Tznan, we learned our Mishnah also, lo yetza achai p'machto saman chashecha. A tailor shouldn't go out with his needle on Friday afternoon, again, with his needle, shema yishkach v'yetza, because he's going to forget, and he's going to come to walk in the Rosh Hashanah, Dal Namas Rosh Hashanah, on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks a proof for Abai again, my love, the tchuva love, the big deal. Isn't the Mishnah taken when the needle is pinned to your garment? And we're assuming that this is not the usual derech. You only chayav on Shabbos midaraisa if you're doing something in the normal way that it's done. So we assume over here that you, if it's pinned to your garment, that's not the normal derech. Yet the Mishnah is warning you in Erev Shabbos, which is already before, so it's like Zira L'Gzira. Abaya has a raya that we do or goes there on Erev Shabbos, Gzira L'Gzira, a proof for Abaya. So the Gemara says, lo, no, this Mishnah is not referring to that. Rather, it's talking about Denakit Labiyade, where he's holding it in his hand, and therefore you're Bichayev Midoraisa if you're going to walk with holding this needle, because that's the normal way of transferring. So therefore, the Mishnah is telling you, even in Erev Shabbos, of Gzira Midarabanan, only one Gzira, not two Gziras. So the Gemara wants to bring another proof. Tashma. Lo yitza chai b'machto t'chuva lo b'bigda. But the tailor shouldn't go out. This is a b'raisa now. A tailor shouldn't go out with his needle pinned to his garment. My la b'er Shabbos. This seems to be Erev Shabbos. And again, this would be a dinder abanan. So the Gemara answer is also lo kitanei b'Shabbos. This b'raisa is teaching you that you can't go out like this. Needle pinned to your garment means on Shabbos itself and be a dinder abanan. Even though it's not the normal derech, you're not allowed to carry it. We're not allowed to take it like that. Lest you actually carry a normal derech, there would be an isra der abanan. So the Gemara says v'hatanya them. The b'raisa taught us lo yetzah chep b'machto t'chuva v'big do. A tailor might not go out with his needle that's pinned to his garment be'erev Shabbos im chashecha. Even on erev Shabbos before it's nightfall, the b'raisa is explicitly telling you the needle's pinned to your garment and telling you it's us to do erev Shabbos. So that's two gzera. Again, the first gzera we're talking about before Shabbos even started, we're telling you not to do this. And then the second gzera is that it's only an Issur Rabbanan to carry this. Even if you accidentally did this on Shabbos, it would only be an Issur Rabbanan. So a proof for Abaye. So the Gemara now rejects this. Hamani, Rabbi Yehuda. He know this whole Mishnah is the Tana of this Braisa, rather, is Rabbi Yehuda that says, the Omar Uman Derechum Nasal Chayim, that a person who's a craftsman, who's doing it in the normal way, the people of his craft hold things, they are going to be Chayim, the Dinder, right? So even though most people don't carry like that, since for them it's normal, in their whole field, then it's going to be Chayim. So says the Gemara, Araya, for this, the Tana was taught in the Braisa, Lotzea Chayim Amachto Atchuvala Bebigdal, that a tailor shouldn't go out with his needle pinned to his garment. A carpenter shouldn't go out with his ruler behind his ear. Again, that's not the normal way for other people. You don't keep a ruler behind your ear. You usually carry a ruler. However, this is for these people. This would be the din. That someone who is a comber of wool shouldn't go out with a cord. That's what he uses to tie the bundles of wool. That's normally, that's not the derech again. That's only for these people. And so that would be another din over here. And also, logardi be'ira shebe'ozno, not a weaver, that he had this stopper behind his ear. Again, that's not the derech for normal people. Lotzaba be'dugma shebe'tzaro, not a dyer with his swatch translated. Or velo shulchane be'dira shebe'ozno, not a money changer with the money behind the dinar, the money behind his ear. Ve'im yatsa patra v'alasar de ve'er meir. Hold that this is only derabana, not deraisa. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, uma derech unosos chayev ushar Kol Adam Pater. That Uma Derech Nas is going to be Chayev, but Shar Kol Adam is going to be Pater. Okay, so we'll just start this braisa, and I guess it's kind of like one long sigil. We'll try to stop in a good stopping point, though. Now, this is just, we're mentioning a steer between two braisas, which is somewhat related to what we mentioned before. It just says the Gemara, Tana chad aloyitz azav v'kiso. Azav shouldn't go on the Shabbos with his pouch, literally. So azav is someone who has an emission, not of zera, rather like this greenish thing that used to come out. The halacha is that if the first day he sees it, he's shomer yom keneged yom. If he sees it again the second day, he's chayv midar reisa to shit shiva nekiyim, and he is tamei, and anything he touches becomes tamei, and that so too and so forth. If he sees it again on the third day, he'd be chayv even a third re'iyah, he'd be chayv even to bring a korban. That is the halacha with regards to zav. So now, so the Gemara is saying that he used to have this thing to hold it, to watch him. The Gemara is going to discuss exactly what the function was. If you did go out with it, you are chayav midir abanan. However, Tani Idach of another place that seems to contradict us, that says, lo yetzei v'im yatza chayav chadas. You shouldn't go out, but if you did, you're going to be chayav midir reisa, not midir abanan. So the Gemara says, one possible, Tarasam Rav Yosef lo kasha harib meir ha Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe it's not a kasha. The first price, which says that Azav is not chayav midar reisa, is going to follow Rav Meir that maintains that someone carrying something in the matter not that's usual for him but not for other people is going to be putter. And Rabbi Yehuda saying that maybe it's following the logic that since he is a Zav and Zavs wear this pouch to stop the flow coming out, either to check for Eos or to make sure it doesn't get his clothing dirty, since it's normal for him, he would be chayav. So the Gemara rejects this, because this is the Gemara, Amar Labevaya, Imad, the Shmuel Rameir. When do we say Rameir says that you're not chayav in this situation? B'midid alav hainu orchei, in a situation where one carries something in a manner that's unusual even for himself. B'midid hainu orchei, have something that's a manner that's unusual, that's usual for himself, meaning a zav wearing the pouch. Mishmetle, have you heard that Rameir says you're not chayav? So this seems to be reinterpreting the shita of Rabbi Meir, because the Gemara now seems to assume that Rabbi Meir holds that a tailor who goes out with a needle pinto's garment is not normal even for him, to other tailors. That's a chiddush. That's not necessarily how we saw that, but that's how Abaye understands this point. Now, Abaye brings a raya for this. The Gemara says, "De'ilotema hachi elamata hayyot shechak akabe bikas b'shabbes." Someone who is an average guy who doesn't know how to carve out things in wood and like in a log on Shabbos. He's not like a professional architect. So Rav Meir, Rav Meir is never going to say chayev. Rav Meir is going to say that any hedyot who does any labor in a regular way is not going to be chayev. It must be that Rav Meir holds that you're chayev. So Rav Meir must also hold that a person does something in a normal way that's normal for him, even though it's not the standard way for the general public, you would still be chayev. Okay, so I think we'll stop over here. Okay, we'll pick up from here tomorrow, Mr. Shem.